Hey everyone, welcome back. Today, we're diving deep into, something I know you guys are probably interested in.
Okay.
It's Matthew 6:25-33. That passage about anxiety, trusting in God,
Right.
all that good stuff. And we are going to be unpacking a lecture, a really insightful lecture on inductive Bible study by Dr. David Bauer.
Okay.
And he really digs deep into this text, this familiar text. And you're going to find some new layers of meaning that you probably have missed before. So get ready.
It's amazing, how often we hear this passage quoted, but it's so easy to miss the depth of what Jesus is actually saying here. It's not just don't worry, be happy, There's like a real logic to his argument.
I love that you said logic because that's exactly what struck me about Dr. Bauer's analysis. He points out that Jesus structures his argument like a lawyer building a case in court.
Oh,
It's
interesting.
like, here's the command, do not be anxious.
Right, shoot
Don't
that
be
off.
anxious. And then he presents all this evidence to back it up. And then, bam, he ends with that command again. Don't be anxious. You see, the way Jesus builds his case here is brilliant.
I love
It's like
that.
he's anticipating all of our little doubts and he's systematically, dismantling them one by one. So smart.
And the evidence that he uses, is so compelling. Like, he talks about life and body, which Dr. Bauer points out is represents all our needs, both internal and external.
Okay, hold on. You're gonna have to break that down for me. What do you mean internal and external needs?
Well, think about it this way. Life encompasses things like what we eat and drink. So those are our external needs. But then body goes deeper, encompassing things like clothing, shelter, even the emotional needs we have. It's not just about physical survival. It's about everything we need to thrive.
Okay, I see what you mean. So it's not just about food and clothes, it's about everything we might worry about. Like our jobs, relationships, finances.
All of it. All of it. Jesus is addressing the full spectrum of human need and anxieties.
Okay, that makes the scope of this passage much bigger than I initially realized. And the way he connects this to little faith, that's powerful.
It is.
So good.
It's by linking our anxieties about all of these things to having little faith. Jesus is getting to the root of the issue. Where are we placing our trust? Are we trusting in our own ability to control things? Or are we trusting in God's provision?
Oh man. So then, okay, so we've got these, he's building this case like a lawyer, right? So we're talking about all of our needs, not just basic needs, all of our needs and worries. And then he brings in this imagery of the birds and the lilies, which is so vivid. I can practically hear the birds chirping, smell the lilies blooming in the field.
It's beautiful imagery, and it's meant to draw us into the logic of Jesus's argument. It's what we call the argument from the lesser to the greater.
Wait, hold up. Argument from the lesser to the greater. That sounds pretty academic. What does that even mean?
Okay, so it's really simpler than it sounds. Think about it. Like, if God takes care of creatures we consider less valuable, the birds, right? They don't even plant crops. The lilies, they wilt so quickly. If he takes care of them, won't he even more meticulously care for us, who are made in his image?
Okay, yeah, I get that. It's like he's saying, if I take care of the sparrows, don't you think I'll take care of you too? That's such a simple but powerful way to just dismantle, our worries.
It's a logic bomb against anxiety.
Oh, so good. Okay, so we've got, this lawyer-like argument structure, the idea that this covers all of our needs and worries, this lesser to greater logic. Dr. Bauer is really blowing my mind here.
I know, he's good.
Then he brings up something I never would have noticed on my own. He says that the passage mentions both male and female work. What's up with that?
That is such a fascinating observation.
Right.
He points out the contrast between sowing and reaping, which were typically male tasks,
Okay.
and toiling and spinning, which were typically female tasks.
So what does that tell us about God's care?
It shows us that God's care is comprehensive. It extends to all aspects of life and creation, regardless of gender roles or societal norms.
So no matter who you are or what you do, God sees you and cares for you. That's amazing. But he's not just talking about barely scraping by, is he? I mean, he talks about these lilies being clothed more gloriously than Solomon in all his splendor.
That's right. God's provision is extravagant.
Whoa.
He's not just meeting our basic needs. He's showering us with abundance and beauty.
That's a game changer. And yet, you know, knowing all of this, why do we still let anxiety get the best of us?
That's where the concept of internal dialogue comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that Dr. Bauer really dives into in his lecture.
Yeah, you mean that little voice in our heads that just loves to whisper doubts?
Yeah.
And play what-if scenarios on repeat?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that voice all too well.
All too well. Exactly. Yeah. And that voice, that internal dialogue, can be a real struggle.
Oh, yeah.
And according to Dr. Bauer, it's often a symptom of little faith. You know, it takes our focus away from God's power and provision and puts it squarely on, like, our perceived limitations and fears.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
When we're so caught up in those anxious thoughts, it's like we're forgetting everything we just talked about.
Yeah.
God's extravagant care.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he provides for the birds and the lilies.
Yeah.
He cares for us even more.
Right.
You know, all that.
Yeah. It's like we're trying to solve the problem on our own. You know, with our own limited resources.
Right, right.
Instead of tapping into, like, the infinite resources of God.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. So how do we break free from that worry cycle?
Yeah.
You know, how do we shift our focus back to God and actually start living out, you know, this trust that we're talking about?
Well, remember how Jesus structured this whole argument?
Yeah.
Like a lawyer?
Yeah.
He doesn't just leave us with a don't worry command.
Right.
He gives us a really powerful action step.
Okay.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Okay. I've heard that phrase a million times.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sure I fully get it.
Yeah.
What does seeking first the kingdom of God look like practically?
Yeah. You know, it's about aligning our priorities with God's priorities.
Okay.
You know, it's about putting his purposes above all else.
So it's not just about, you know, going to church or reading the Bible.
Well, those are important, but it's bigger than that.
Oh.
You know, it's about living out our faith in every area of our lives.
Right.
It's about asking ourselves, you know, what does it look like to honor God in
right.
my work?
Yeah.
In my relationships, my finances, my decisions.
So it's about making God the center of our lives.
Yeah.
Not just a part of it.
Exactly. And Dr. Bauer points out there's some debate about what first means here.
Oh, okay.
Does it mean, you know, seeking God's kingdom exclusively?
Uh-huh.
Or does it mean prioritizing it above all other pursuits?
Hmm. That's interesting. So is it kind of like an all or nothing thing?
Yeah.
Or is it more about having like a hierarchy?
Yeah.
Of desires where God's kingdom is at the top?
That's a great question. And it's one that scholars have wrestled with for centuries,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
But I think, you know, that the key is to understand that it's about surrender.
Yeah.
It's about letting go of our need to control everything
mm-hmm.
and trusting that God knows what's best for us.
Okay, I can see how that ties back to, you know, the whole anxiety thing.
Yeah.
When we're anxious, we're basically saying, I don't trust you, God. I need to handle this myself.
Right. But when we seek first the kingdom of God, you know,
yeah.
we're saying, I trust you, God. I know you have a plan and I want to be a part of it.
And there's that incredible promise attached to this,
yeah.
you know, this command, and all these things will be added to you. So if we get our priorities straight, God will take care of the rest.
Right.
It sounds almost too good to be true.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But remember, Jesus has already established that God is able.
Right.
He's willing.
Yes.
And he is aware of our needs.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So we're not talking about like a begrudging handout here.
Yeah.
We're talking about a loving Father who delights in providing for his children.
This reminds me of that saying, put God first and everything else falls into place. but it's not, you know, it's not just a catchy phrase, right?
Yeah, yeah. Jesus is laying out this rock solid argument based on, you know, God's character.
Right.
His extravagant care for creation.
And let's not forget the subtle shift from anxiety to seeking.
Oh,
like Jesus isn't just telling us to stop doing something.
Right.
He's giving us a positive action to replace, you know, that anxious striving.
Yeah.
So instead of fretting over our needs, we're called to actively pursue God's kingdom.
That's huge. It's not about, you know, passive resignation. It's like, about actively engaging in God's purposes.
Yeah.
Trusting that as we do, he'll take care of the details.
It's about replacing that internal dialogue of worry.
Mm-hmm.
With a dialogue of faith, a conversation with God,
yeah.
about his plans, his provision, his promises.
It's about aligning like our hearts and minds with his and letting that trust just flow out into every area of our lives.
It is. Absolutely.
Oh, man. You know, it's like we've gone from a courtroom drama to a treasure hunt. I love it.
Dr. Bauer's analysis has helped us see the logic, the depth of Jesus's argument.
Yeah.
And now we have this map, this action step.
Yeah.
Seeking first the kingdom of God,
right,
which leads to this incredible treasure, you know, this peace and provision.
That's good,
But I think there's something even more powerful at play here.
You're picking up on it, aren't you? It's not just about understanding, you know, the structure of this passage.
Right.
It's about letting that understanding transform our hearts and minds.
Yes.
It's about moving from like intellectual assent.
Right.
To like a lived out experience of trust and peace.
Exactly. It's like the difference between, you know, reading a recipe and actually tasting the delicious meal.
Yes.
We can grasp the intellectual concepts.
Yeah.
But the real transformation happens.
Yeah.
When we put those concepts into practice.
Yeah.
And experience the freedom.
Yes.
That comes from trusting God.
You got it.
It's like we've been handed this map, you know, to like navigate, you know, the terrain of worry.
Right.
And find our way to this place of peace and trust.
Yeah.
And the best part is we don't have to make the journey alone.
Absolutely. We have a God who not only knows the way, but like walks with us every step of the way.
Oh, that's so good.
He's the ultimate guide, the perfect provider, and the source of all peace and comfort.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today into Matthew 6.2533.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you to really let these truths sink in.
Yeah.
Remember the birds, the lilies, you know, the powerful logic of Jesus's argument.
Yes.
Remember the invitation to seek first his kingdom, trusting that he'll take care of all the details.
Because when we shift our focus, you know, from our worries to God's faithfulness, that's when we truly experience like the freedom and peace that Jesus promised.
It's like trading in a life of constant striving and anxiety for a life of abundance and peace.
Yeah.
And that's a trade I'm definitely willing to make.
Me too. Absolutely.
Peace too.
And remember, it's not a one-time transaction.
Yeah.
It's a daily surrender,
mm-hmm.
a moment by moment choice to trust God with our lives.
So true. Keep diving deep, friends, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.